If I ask you this, how many of us love to be in control? It's okay. And I realize the more I'm, the older I'm getting, and I thank God, I know some of you understand it as well, we are not in control. I thought I was in control of my life. Man, I thought I was in control. Even some of your kids, you thought, man, you were in control over their lives. Then you realize, wake up, you're not in control. So we don't like not being in control. It's human. And I think that's one of the reasons it's so hard for people to follow Christ. Jesus is a good king. But also, he's a king that requires obedience. We cannot serve Christ with us being in control. We cannot follow Christ with us being in control. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. As a matter of fact, but it's not also a abusive dictatorship kind of kingdom. God is a good God. Because people might hear me saying, well, the kingdom of God is not a democracy, but then you're like, well, who wants to be part of such kingdom? Who wants to be a bunch of slaves? God didn't call nobody to be his slave. We are called children. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I won't call you servant. I'm going to call you friends. You know what happened to friends? I hope you have a good friend. I'm talking about a loyal friend. Someone who's there for you. Someone who's just, listen, they're going to stick with you no matter what. Jesus is one of them. If you open your Bibles in Luke chapter 14, verse 35. I don't know, maybe if Xavier can quick help us. But if you find it, Luke 14, verse 35. We're talking about we don't like not being in charge. A large crowd, I'll give you a couple seconds to find it. Luke chapter 14, verse 35. A large crowd were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Good questions, right? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other king is still a long way off and will ask them to come to terms of peace. In the same way, those who do not give up control, that's what it means in the Greek. Those who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. And the more I'm gonna put this verse in the context of holiness, to go back again on some of the principles Dave shared with us last week. A lot of times, people's life are aborted, or people cancel their life or their success because they're violating a bunch of principles. And Jesus goes on saying, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. You know, and I believe some of you has hearing aids today would turn it on. Have it on. And good thing is, I don't think any of you have turned it off so far. That's a good thing. But let's go back to verse 35. It says, a large crowd was following Jesus. Verse 25. Did I say 35? Oh man, I wrote 35. Sorry. Thank you so much. I seriously wrote 35. But it is 25. Never take my words for it. Go check. Luke 14, 25, not 35. All right? So, but it is I read from 25 to 35. That's correct. So verse 25 says, a large crowd was following Jesus. I'm going to throw you a question. Why would a large crowds following Christ at that moment? Why did you think a lot of people wanted to follow him at that time? Because he was healed. Agreed? Because they were after something. They wanted something. They wanted food. They wanted healing. They wanted a physical evidence. I mean, tell me about it. If you're hungry, just like if you're part of a country where they're giving you all free stuff all the time, wouldn't you take it? Who doesn't like free stuff? I do. Until you realize that might be crippling you. But Jesus wasn't that kind of leader. Jesus was giving healing, feeding them. But that's all they wanted. Until Jesus like, hey guys, come on now. I've got something else for you. For you to follow me, you have to, you see, this English word, hate. If anyone does not come after me, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, that's not in the Greek. See, that's why anybody who would be reading this be like, man, this is kind of strong. I mean, that's like, but I thought there is no hate in Christ. I thought God is all love. Why would he say right here, if anyone doesn't hate? The word hate is not in the Greek. What they're trying to say here in English, if anyone doesn't love, Jesus saying, if anyone doesn't love me more, then your mother, your brother, your wife, your children, you're not worthy to be my disciple. So if you love your father, if you love your life, if you love your children, even if you love your ministry, because I know some people, they're married to their ministry. As a minister, I've been in ministry for 20 years and 11 years in full-time, in lead position. It's so easy for your ministry to become your identity. Oh yeah. You feel needed. You know, people need you. But Jesus says, if then me loves their whatever they love more than me, that person is not worthy for being mine. Last week I told you, in 2 Timothy, Paul was talking. He's like, you belong to God. You are God's. You belong to him. But how do you belong to him? You cannot belong to him unless you love him more than anything else. If you love your father, I'm going to repeat that. If you love your mother, if you love your wife, if you love your husband, if you love your children, if you love your work, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, do not let anything come between you and I. And I'll ask you this question. What are some of the things that are fighting to be between you and the Lord? What are some of the things that are just striving? I mean, even if you love your job more than God. Brothers and sisters, this is not my word. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus says, if anyone loves all those things more than me, that person is not worthy to be mine. What do they say? You put your money and you put your energy into whatever is important to you. If reading your Bible, spending time, relationship, right? If spending time with my wife is a priority, I'm going to make sure I have a date night. Because it's so easy for us to live our life every day. You go to work, you do your thing, you come back. You think about it. For those of you that are married here, even if you've been married for 40 years, it doesn't matter. As long as you still have each other, you should still be in love. You should still love to be with each other. Just think about it. We spent all of our life, day, 24 hours. We wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning. And your energy is like up here. And then eventually, by 5 in the afternoon, what does it do? And that's the time we choose to spend with each other. Give each other the leftovers. And you think, how come it's not working? Being intentional once again. If you let anything comes between you and God, you're not worthy to be mine. Or your son, or your daughter more than me. You're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse, that's verse 26 and 27. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, who wants to walk with a cross? Who wants to carry burdens all day long? And let me tell you this. This is not the news people want to hear right now. This is the gospel that will keep people away from God's kingdom. But this is the word that will save them. And I told you, for us to talk about holiness, we have to mention sin. We have to talk about giving up things in our life that are fighting to separate us from the glory of God. Well, who wants to hear that stuff? You know, in the past, the more I'm studying this, I feel I have a burden for the church. I have a burden for God's people. You know? Blind. More than ever, people are, you know, blind. They don't understand. So we got to pray. We got to pray for our young people. You must hate everyone else. That's not the word. Remember, Jesus is not telling us for you to hate everyone else. As a matter of fact, the good news of the gospel, the kingdom gospel, will give you a heart to love the unlovable. To accept those that are different than you. Following Jesus requires complete obedience and complete dedication. You cannot follow Christ and not giving yourself completely to Him. Completely. You don't need a crutch to follow Christ. Whatever the crutch might be. You don't need smoking. You don't need sex. You don't need this awesome food you like. You don't need it. There is enough power in Jesus. There is enough power in the Holy Spirit. His divine power has given you everything you need to live a godly life. This watered down gospel that's out there, I'm like, God have mercy. You don't need it. Jesus is enough when you understand there's power in Him to set you free. But He cannot set you free without your willpower. That's what makes Jesus different from the devil. Satan, when he comes, he makes you do things you don't want to do. and then hand you over. Sell your soul. Satan come and kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came, he's like, this is life. This is death. What will you choose today? What will you choose? I choose life. You know, to carry your own cross. In that verse, it means to die yourself. Die to yourself. Die to yourself. Back in the days, every time someone is carrying their cross to the mountain of Golgotha, it humiliate that person. But who wants to do that? Who wants to be laughed at? I mean, even social media nowadays. I pray, God, you know, what are we about? I'm a citizen of heaven. So when you go on social media, you're going to see, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Well, I guess, I mean, they could shut it down. Amen. But you know what? I'm not going to be having political argument on social media. If I'm going to have a political argument with somebody, I'm going to do it face to face. But I figured what a platform we have as citizens of heaven on Instagram to be preaching the gospel, to encourage people, to be good out there, love one another. Instead of going all over it, I mean, going crazy, sharing about my... We all have personal views on things, right? It's that 5% that divides us. The 95%, we don't see it. Am I making sense this morning? Kingdom holiness, you should strive for that. And more than ever, as we wait the return of our God. It's exciting to be a Christian, but it's also not appealing. Being a Christian, who wants to be ridiculed? Nobody wants to. I mean, people are like, well, Jesus, why do I need Jesus for? One day, every tongue will confess him, Lord. One day, every knee will bow. Blessed are those who accept him now. Jesus is a good king. That's why he wants us to succeed when it comes to holiness. Life is made of principles. And I personally believe that success is predictable in holiness. Guess what? I'm going to give you a just simple example. You don't have to buy pornography out there. It's everywhere. You don't have to search for bad things. That's what I mean. You don't have to search. You don't have to try to be bad, right? See how it is. How easy it is to be just a bad person. Think about it. If let's say I'm frustrated, it's a lot easier while I'm frustrated to start cursing and start hating people. Then I'm frustrated, but I'm not gonna. Talk bad. Even if I'm frustrated, I realize I'm frustrated. This is when self-control kicks in. Man, that reminds me of a good book, Turn Your Love Off, Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. Talks about powerful and powerless people. Powerless people always wants to blame their action on somebody else. But a powerful person is someone who takes responsibility for their action. You cannot make me hate you. You know, I slapped you because you talked to me that way. No, I wouldn't have to. A powerless person says, well, I slapped you if you didn't, you know, if you see the blame game, right? Yeah, you know, I cursed you because you really kicked me off. I didn't want to say it here, but you got the message. I believe that failure is predictable as much as success is predictable. And more than ever, I believe those of us, I mean leadership team, worship leader, worship singers, musicians, we're all priests. So we must represent God in holiness. I'm also convinced that life is designed to be successful. Now, I told you God is a good God, so therefore he doesn't want your failure. He doesn't want you to fail. I mean, can you imagine? When you fail, It hurts God. It hurts his heart to see his children suffer. But then a lot of people fail because they fail to follow a bunch of principles. I mean, guys, think with me for a minute. The distance from Egypt to Canaan was 40 days. The people did 40 years. They kept going in circle. Why? Their hearts wasn't right. From thousands, millions of people that left Egypt, only two entered the promised land. Everybody else was born in the desert. God is a God of principle. It's just like marriage. I'm going to go back to marriage again. I love that. I'm not talking about people that are married here, but I love it because the Bible says it's the only relationship that linked to the relationship between Christ and the church. You don't have to be a Christian to succeed in your marriage. Because for marriage to succeed, just follow the example, the principles. You love her. You be kind to her. She be kind to you. You speak her language. Her language is affection, quality time, acts of service. And his love language is most of the time touch. And maybe word of affirmation, respect. I tell you, you find a couple that understand that, or they'll be married for 80 years. They keep choosing each other. Principles. But show me a couple that's just like going through it. I was talking to a friend a couple weeks ago. Find out that, she's not my friend. She's a friend of a friend. That her parents just divorced right after she left the house. Why? Because the kid was the glue. Some parents, they do that, right? The kid become the glue for them to stick together. The moment the kid is not around, you see what happened? They lost that point of reference. God is holy God. God is committed for you to succeed in holiness. Why would he do that? I told you, because your success is good for God. Your success is good for his reputation. I mean, I'm like, one thing that really grieved my heart is when people that are not part of the kingdom say, you know what, I'll never go to church because church people are a bunch of hypocrites. I say, God, give me grace to represent the kingdom the right way. And I pray the same thing for you guys here, that he would give you the grace to represent the kingdom the right way. To be the salt. That's what it says, verse 35. Luke 14, 35. It says, well, if salt loses its favor, flavor, what? It's worthless. When people stop counting the cost to be the salt, that's when they start compromising. Am I making sense here? Huh? Can I have a witness here? This is the good news. And I pray that this good news will just give you wings to continue to be what God wants you to be in such a world. In a desperate world. Dog-eat-dog world. In the past couple of months, I'm just hearing what's happening in the world, in Haiti, and all over the world here in Virginia Beach. And I've got some leaders that I know that are falling in their character. I'm like, you know what I'm doing? I just went home, when I say home, in my heart, and I'm just checking. I'm doing checks. I'm just like making sure my radar is right. I told you last week, holiness is you integrating your action with your words. Holiness is being the same person behind closed doors. Holiness is being the same person when I'm frustrated. I'm so mad at this person right now. An example. But because I know I've got self-control, I can go and talk about it. Or I can give it a couple days and then talk about it. You know, I went back to Dave again. Something Dave said. He's like, well, I like that. He said, for a pilot to succeed in his trip, he's got to stay connected with the tower. You remember when he said that? He's got to stay in touch with the tower. Now, let me ask you this. Who is your tower here on earth? As kingdom of heaven, as citizen of the kingdom. Where is your tower? Well, it is in the scripture. How do I stay in tune with what God wants to do in my life and on earth? Or in His Word. That's why we said we're not going to pray against COVID, but we're going to pray against the spirit of fear that is associating with COVID. Yeah, we take COVID seriously. It is a deadly virus. But we're not going to let that fear just destroy our lives. We're going to do what we need to do to protect ourselves. But fear is a big fat liar. So if you choose to believe fear, you know what's going to happen to you. But if you choose to believe God's word, but how would I believe God's word? Faith comes by hearing. What are you listening to? You know, I want to take some time right now to talk about a little bit the difference between actually look at the power of law and order. You all know what's happening to Haiti, right? I don't know. We all pray. Maybe let's take this time right now to pray for the 17 missionaries again. Father God, we pray for those missionaries. We don't know what's happening to them. We don't know. Everybody's asking. I'm asking my friends in Haiti. Nobody knows. And the U.S. government, that all of us were hoping they would do something, hasn't done anything yet. And those missionaries, they were in your will. They were doing your work. They were helping the poor. They were going after the Great Commission. That was their motives. You know, that was their engine. That's why they were there. To help the poor. Blessed are those who did what they do. But yet, Father, they find themselves in a situation that none of us want to find ourselves in. And right now, we intercede, we pray for them, God. You know exactly where they're at. You know exactly what happened. So, Father, we trust you and we pray for their families here. I can only imagine what their wives, their grandparents, you know, people that related to those people are going through. But God, we call out your name right now. And we ask that you give grace and mercy. Your mighty angels would go and deliver. Deliver them. Deliver them. Break the chains. God, we pray for also the kidnappers, those gangsters, Lord. Bring their hearts to repentance, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And if you agree, you said. Amen. You see, let us continue to stand for law and order for our country. And when I say our country, I'm not talking about Haiti, okay? I'm talking about here, America. Because any place there's no law and order, you know what's going to happen? It's chaos, anarchy to the max. I've seen it. No law, no order. There's a speed limit. And everybody should be going 70. The moment everybody's going to go be driving 100 miles an hour, and the cops, they realize, you know what? Heaven. We don't want to be in a society where the cops are saying, heaven. I'm not talking politics, okay? Politics is politics. See, what I'm saying right now might kind of look like it's politics because that's all that's happening. But my point is, we need law and order, not only in our country, not only in our homes, but also in our personal life. Because everywhere there's not law and order, you know what's going to happen? Chaos. Disaster. Example, Haiti. I grew up there. I know what I'm talking about. We don't want that. We don't want people when they see. So now let's bring it in our context here. This is our law. This is the law of the Lord. This brings order in our lives. The moment you start despising this, the moment this stop being an authority in your life, there's going to be disaster. And that's exactly what happened in our society, in our churches. Like, well, we don't want to preach this anymore. We got to tell them, you know, something that makes them comfortable. No! We need God's word. We need to go back here because this brings order in our lives. If I didn't have this, my life would be in disorder. I wouldn't have order in my relationship with my wife. I wouldn't have order in my relationship with my kids. I wouldn't have order in my life as a preacher. That's why guys, my heart aches. My heart aches for the church of God, for the bride of Christ. And I keep telling you, don't look at the numbers here. I don't care if we have 10 people here. I don't care if 5 of us come here and we worship God, but I want the Lord to find us ready. Ready. Stop looking at the numbers. I call for a membership a meeting today. You know, it's like, okay, who's going to come? I already know who the members are. You guys are the members. I'm not expecting anybody else to show up. I know some of us, you know, some people are at the hospital. They're not able to come. But what God is doing with His church. Remember last year what He told me? He says, my church is not a bunch of growing number of people. It's a number. 5, 6, 7, 2, 3. Of people growing in maturity, growing in holiness, growing in the under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. And I ask the Lord, He would break our hearts, because what's happening in His church is breaking His heart. And Jesus is returning. And I tell people, guys, you put order in your life, I'm going. I'm not here to play church. I'm not here to preach you a little sermon, do a little service, go home, sit around your TV, watch your football. I'm not about that. I'm not. I challenge you. Put Christ in your heart. I challenge you. Remove everything that wants to come between you and the Lord. Luke 14, 25, 36. If you love anything else more, if you love anything else more, it's the word of Jesus. If you love anything else more than me, you're not worthy to be called mine. And I'm like, okay, God, I don't want anything to be between me and you. I want Jesus. I want holiness. I want love. I want to be able to love people. I'm going to accept people. I'm going to take the blame. It's not easy when people blame you for things you haven't done. Something I'm dealing with right now with our ministry in Haiti. Some of my guys, they're blaming me for things. I'm like, well, they don't know me. I mean, I thought they knew me. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. So you're dealing with somebody and you think they know you. Well, you know, of course, there's no way I would do that. And for them to believe you could do it, I'm like, after all these years? Why would I all of a sudden change? I don't talk about people with people. I don't backstabbing. No, no, no. And everybody that knows me, you know, if someone says, I say, bring me the person that says, I say. That's all I need. Because you can tell me so-and-so say, but who is so-and-so? No, I don't want to tell you. You'd have no ground. You see, holiness is integrity. Remember that. Integrity is being one. The same person at all times. And that's what we lost in the church. We lost people. And when people can't trust you, when you're not a person of integrity, people stop trusting you. Don't you love God's word? Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Disorder always precedes destruction. Anyone that you see that's failing in their life or in anything, you can verify that somewhere there is a violation on some basic laws. For example, I keep telling people, I tell you, sometimes I feel bad for the homeless because it happens to some people because of, you know, sickness, disease, or whatever, or they went through a tough time in their life. But I think, in this society right now, I'm like, man, if I would be a homeless, I'd give myself 6 months. I might be a homeless. You know, life circumstances happen. But I'm thinking, man, being homeless, I give myself 6 months. I'll sleep 2 hours. I'll work 20 hours. You know why? Because there's job. There's opportunity. Oh, yeah. So therefore, if someone is not being a success in having succeed in having homes, job, what they need, let's go check, see what principles out there violating. That makes sense? In my marriage, I vow to have a good marriage. I vow to be a good pastor. Why? Because I know there are principles if I follow, I bet you I'm going to be a good pastor. If I remain with the Lord, if I be in God's word, if I be in prayer, if I love you, if I'm there for you, if I speak the truth, well, you might not like me, but I'm going to be a good pastor. Yep. That's it. I'm going to be a good dad for my kids. They might not like me, but I know I'm a good dad. I'm a good father. I know what it looks like to be a bad father. Principles, right? Look in anybody's life, in your job. Well, you show up late. And when you go to work, you have bad work ethic. Well, of course, there's not going to be any promotion. I mean, think about if you would be your boss. If you would need someone to promote, would he pick you? Principles, right? Life is built, is made of principles. Teenager, you start smoking, you start partying, you start hanging out, and you know, you start doing crazy stuff, and you like, before you know it, you're 35. Life is made of principles, and you follow the principles. I tell you, you don't even have to be spiritual. You just follow a bunch of principles. Just like, I mean, you start smoking at 15, 16. I tell you, when you're 47, tell me about your lungs. Oh, well, you're young. Okay, 67, you come and tell me how your lungs are. You don't have to be spiritual about it. And I tell you, because you love yourself, you take care of yourself. You don't let anybody make you become their slave. Or anything, as a matter of fact. Because you are powerful. Ah, thank you, Lord, for your word. The key to order is law. And I'm going to finish with that. The key to order is law. That's why Jesus gave you his his word. The key to order in our lives is law. David says, Lord, teach me how to keep your precepts. Teach me, Lord. The key to order is to follow. Now, once again, nobody wants to be like, follow laws and order. But I tell you, if you're not a driver yet, but most of us here, we're drivers. You see that yielding sign, getting into the interstate? And I tell you, sometimes you might feel like you want to go a little faster.
Right?
Right. But it doesn't work. Not only you can harm yourself, you can hurt somebody else. There's a principle. You know that getting off the interstate, that ramp that says 30 miles per hour? And you're like, man, today I just want to do it by 60, see how well I do. See you in heaven. I mean, it's fine. You can die. That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. You just die before your time. Why? Principles. Laws. When you violate it. That's why people abort their lives. It grieves my heart. My peers, some guys that are in ministry, you know, abort their life, their ministry, their marriage. God's, you know. Now remember, things like that, when it happened, it can't kill God's church. Be at peace because Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So things will happen. That's why I'm going to tell you this. Don't keep your eyes on people. People will fail you. But keep following Jesus. Why? Because he will never fail you, right? He'll never fail you. What did we sing this morning? And that's through fire. He'll carry you. And that's why I'm so excited about the church. I'm excited about the church. I'm excited about what God is doing. Because he's purifying it. You know, fire. He is. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't have a worship team to ask them to come in. Yeah, I guess I'm leading worship today. And so I pray that the word of the Lord was very encouraging to you guys. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you for walking with us through fire. If we could sing that song again. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being with us. Oh,